you are invited to join the Fueled by Faith membership community. Inside this membership, you will have access to a Telegram text thread where you will find other female leaders that are getting filled by the Holy Spirit daily. You will also have access to our monthly virtual Zoom calls that are all about connection as well as getting the word and being connected to the women that are inside the community as well as the Lord and the Holy Spirit inside this membership. There's also a monthly meetup for those of you that are local to Wilmington, North Carolina. But don't let that hold you back. If you are not local to Wilmington, North Carolina, we are looking to grow the Fueled by Faith community within the next couple of years. Let me bring you into the global vision that is starting here with this Fueled by Faith community here in Wilmington, North Carolina. For those of you that are looking for community, that are looking for in-person meetups to meet other faith-based and driven women that are leaders inside your community, we are looking to expand in the next couple of years where you can have access to a Fueled by Faith community right in your backyard with ongoing chapters that continue to add and pop up. This is where we are headed in our vision, and we would love nothing more than to hear back from you if you're not local to Wilmington, North Carolina, if you would be interested in having this in your community, where that's located at, and giving you the blueprint of how we can get that started. If you want to join the membership or you're looking for more information on how to bring Fueled by Faith closer to you, just send us an email at info@sheassistyou.com or find us on Facebook inside our community and send us a message at the Fueled by Faith community page. Welcome to the Fueled by Faith podcast. I'm your host, Emily Vermeer. As a wife, mom, and business owner, I found myself stressed, anxious, bitter, and overwhelmed the majority of the time. Constantly taking care of everyone else, getting to my agenda, you know, the basics, food, water, working out, devotion, and quiet time. If I had the time, which either rarely happened or was just a check off the list. It was when I was searching for a community of women that I could invest in and get support from. God spoke through a friend of mine that this is something that I would create. So here we are, the Fueled by Faith podcast, giving female leaders like yourself a fill up so you can be encouraged, equipped, and empowered daily by plugging into the Lord and allowing Him to overflow in your life so then you can overflow into others, ultimately moving the needle forward for the kingdom of God. So sister, let's dive in. Hello, Fueled by Faith sisters. We are here in your beautiful ears for another day and another great guest that I cannot wait for you guys to meet and just hear what she has for you. I have Erin Woodruff on with us. Erin, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to see what the Lord has for us today. I just got goosebumps, so I know it's good. It's good. You guys can't see us if you're listening to the podcast, but we look so cute in our headphones, just ready for you guys and what the Lord is about to drop. But let me just give you guys a rundown of who Erin is and her background so you know who she is and her expertise, but also you can go and you can follow her and give her some love and see if maybe she might be a good fit for you guys to connect, become friends, become collaboration friends, whatever it may look like. That's what we're here to do. So Erin is a mom and a wife and a CEO. She is a certified life coach who helps high achieving women stay happily married to introverts. As a life coach, she helps you reconnect with yourself so you can create the abundant life that you're excited about. She teaches you how to communicate with confidence, clarity, and curiosity, love unconditionally, and create time for yourself. I know that at one point or another, I needed all of that, right? And it's so nice to now
be able to have people like yourself to help women discover all of these things. So it's so amazing. And we're just going to dive right in. And Erin, I would love for you just to share a Fueled by Faith story or like something that's going on, a living testimony that you have for our listeners today.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm so excited to be here. I love what you do. I love this Fueled by Faith mission. So I'm so excited to share my own experiences with faith and my belief in God and Jesus. And what I will just share a tiny story from last week that really was amazing. And we're in the middle of summer. I'm not sure when this episode will be released, but right now we're in the middle of summer. It's been so crazy. And I don't feel like I've had one day all summer where I didn't have something. And last week, it was Tuesday, and I woke up and I was like, I do not have one thing planned today. And I mean nothing. Like, there was no calls, no work, no recreation, no lunch with friends, no this. Like, there was nothing on my calendar. And I was very shocked. And I also was just like, you know what? It's okay. Like, I can be okay with this. Like, we've had a crazy summer. And then I didn't know what to expect, but I was studying that morning, just having some devotional time with myself. And I just kept feeling like, God's going to guide me today. God's going to help me. And at the time, when on this day specifically, my husband was gone. He was a counselor for a youth camp group. So he was gone. So it was just me and our toddler. And I'm like, I really can do whatever I want. But I really felt like God was going to guide me. And so I just got out. I usually go on a walk in the mornings, and I got out and I was pushing our, stroller. Our toddler refused to get in the stroller. So I was like, it's fine. You can walk until you're tired. Then I'll have the stroller. And because we were going slower than normal, because she was wandering, I was noticing what was happening around me. It was very interesting. And I was just like, okay, slow down. And I felt that in really intense presence of slow down. And I saw, we live by a beautiful walking path by the lake. And we saw one of our friends and her two little girls over across the grass playing on a swing that hangs from a tree. And my toddler starts running across the grass to them. And I don't know that I would have stopped to go talk to them because I was on a walk. I was exercising. I was doing my thing. And because my toddler ran across the grass, I was like, you know what? I haven't seen her for a while. And so I walked across the grass and I started talking with my friend. And turns out, and I'd forgotten, but turns out her husband was also gone with my husband on this youth camp. So they were church friends. So we were single moms for the week with our kids. And I asked her, how are things going? And it was 9 o'clock in the morning. And she said, it's been terrible. She's like, I've been up since 3 with both of the girls. And so she'd already been awake for 6 hours. Anyways, so I just stopped right there and we just played, our kids played in the dirt, covered head to toe in the dirt. And I just talked with her for a while. And then I said, Hannah, I don't have anything going on today. Can I just take Clara? She's got a 3 and a 1-year-old. And I said, can I take Clara, the 3-year-old, with me? We'll go play in some water. We'll get them cleaned off because they're covered in dirt. And I ended up having Clara the rest of the morning. And I said, you go home, take Adeline, put Adeline down for a nap. You take a nap, do whatever you need to. I'll just keep Clara. And I know I'm telling this in a really long version, but it was really just how it all played out was so smooth and so simple. And I ended up having Clara all morning. And then I ended up actually getting another toddler that lives right next door to me. And so I had 3 toddlers, 3 and under. And those 2 other moms got to take care of themselves, got to do the things they needed to do. And it was one of those moments that afterwards and later that day, my friend Hannah texted me and said, thank you so much. You were my saving grace and my angel today. I needed this more than you know. And it was so beautiful. But also, I just kept thinking, God guided me God helped me to be prepared to serve her. I did not have one thing to do. I did not feel any pressure in any way. And I just kept her kid while she took care of herself and her baby. And she slept and it was great. And it was something so small, but so impactful. And I've been thinking about it for a full week now. It's been over a week. And I just keep thinking, God really does guide me in everything. And when I take time to slow down, I can be that grace, that angel, that help to somebody else, because neither of us had help that week. And so we had to really bond with each other as moms and support and love one another that way.
That's so good. That's beautiful. And I love that story because I feel like so much of us don't slow down. Mm-hmm. And we miss out. We can miss where God's leading us, where he's telling us to go, where he wants to use us. And you also were an example to these moms of like how God is using you to slow down to help other people. And that's so beautiful. And man, do we need some breaks sometimes as moms? And I mean, if someone said, I'll take your kid, I'd be like, peace, thank you.
Yeah.
And I'll go take a nap or whatever it needs to be. But it's those small things that really make that large impact. And listening to the Lord and having him guide our steps every day. And I don't know about you, when I usually see a free day on my calendar, I kind of freak out a little bit because I'm like, what am I going to do today? Like, I could be doing so much because I'm so busy in other days.
Yeah.
What am I going to do? And he filled your day.
Oh, yeah.
Which is amazing. He did. Yeah.
Yeah. He filled my day. And I think if I had had my own agenda, it wouldn't have played out that way. And like I said, even to the tiniest detail of my toddler refusing to get into the stroller, it forced me to slow down and to just say, okay, I'm not in a rush today. And I had to constantly remind myself, because if she had been in the stroller, like I said, I think I would have just walked right past my friend. I think I would have just waved and like, yeah, been on my way.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, so just the tiny little things that I think can be annoying if you have a toddler and they won't get in the stroller, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
And just, but when we can see it in a divine way of there must be a purpose for this.
Yes.
I think it helps to help us relax a lot and to not have that intense control of this is my agenda for the day.
Yes. I have, I guess you could call it a mantra or a saying that I use of like, everything is working out for me. God is working everything out for me. When I get a close parking spot at the store, everything's working out for me, right? When my kids apologize and I don't have to tell them to, everything's working out for me. All these little things.
I love that.
And it's so helpful for us to fix our eyes on him first.
Yes.
And even in the little mundane things of taking a walk, being high achieving women and driven feel like our wheels are always turning in our head, right? Of like the next step, the next thing. But we often forget that God is a present God and not a God of the future. And he wants us with him present. And so he uses our kids.
Yes.
To be like, nope, she's not getting in that stroller. You can try, but I am using her in my plan for you. Yep. To slow down. I would love to chat more about the slowing down, because yeah, you work with high achieving women. I work with women that are just go, go, go. I am the same way. When you have clients that are high achieving, but they need to rest, the power of slowing down and maybe even getting back into that center of the Lord and what he has for you. Walk me through like how you talk some of your clients through that.
Yeah, that's a really great question. And it's something that I am always striving for. So I feel like it's always on my mind.
Yeah.
I want to offer to anyone listening that the idea of slowing down or rest can look so different for everyone. And so, and Emily mentioned, as she read my bio, I work with high achieving women married to introverts.
Yeah.
And just that alone, I'm married to an introvert. I have learned so much about slowing down from being married to an introvert. Holy smokes, is that so different? So I think just right off the bat, we can look at those around us and see how they take care of themselves and see, and we can learn from them and see, yes, I need to give myself as much rest as they do, or no, I don't. And then decide what is purposeful and meaningful for you. Because there is such a broad spectrum, and it will vary even for you over time.
Yeah.
But if you can remind yourself, like, I have been going like crazy for X amount of time, whether it's a few days, a few weeks, a few months, and being able to say, okay, how am I going to slow down? And make it intentional. I think too often we wait for time to slow down and just like, oh, when the holidays are over, it'll slow down. Oh, when the kids get out of school, it'll slow down. Oh, when the kids get back in school, it'll slow down. And so recognizing that it actually won't slow down until we make it happen is, first of all, like the big awareness that needs to be created. And then for you, what does rest actually look like for you? Because that, again, will vary so much. For me, I don't really love resting on the couch or a chair. Physical rest is not something I necessarily need like other people do. But I find rest in just walking outside. Like I mentioned, I live by a lake trail and I just love going out there every day. And we're out by the water and out in the trees every day. And that to me is rest, but I'm still moving my body and that is very restful for me. So recognizing what is rest to you. So ask yourself, how do I find rest? How do I slow down? Is really a good place to start.
That's great, because we all function so differently. And like you mentioned, of your husband being an introvert, I feel like I'm a mix. I'm an introvert and I'm an extrovert when I need to be, but sister's got to recharge if I'm going to get in group with people. But I love how you mentioned it's different for everybody, and we can look to other people and be like, well, they rest that way, so I should rest that way. I know like my husband can lay down on a couch and be out in a second. And I'm like,
yeah,
how do you do that? How can I turn my brain off? Because I know I need the physical rest, but my brain is like going a million miles an hour. And so I love how you recommended identifying what works for you. Maybe it's, if we can speak to like, how do people figure this out? Like I know that when I first got started, I just jumped into entrepreneurship, not knowing what I was doing. And so this whole thing, I morphed it into making it my 9-to-5 when that was not what I wanted it to be, right? That was the whole reason of getting out of the 9-to-5. And so I didn't even realize the prioritization that is needed of rest and also the discovery in it of figuring that out. So I would love to talk more about that.
Yeah, I love that. So chime in if you have any additional insight. Yeah. But first of all, and I do time management coaching as well to help people structure their days. And what I really recommend is to schedule rest and play before you schedule anything else.
I love that.
And when you can do this, you know in advance that it's scheduled. And when you become skilled enough and practiced enough that you're disciplined to your schedule, you will always take that rest and that play. And it takes a lot of practice. And I know it might be like mind blowing for some of you to be like, no, that would never work for me. But when you can schedule it first and understand like my devotional time in the morning or in the evening or my exercise time, or I'm going to go to bed at this time. When you can understand what is your priority, schedule it first and then stick to that. That's the first thing I always encourage people. But then how do you discover it in the first place? It takes some experimentation. So you've got to try some new things. And maybe you're not a meditation person, but maybe you like listening to classical music, or maybe you like to do yoga, or maybe you like to read your scriptures or write in a journal. Meditation or quiet time or devotional time can look so different, but it does take some experimentation. So again, looking to other people, see what they do. Because I think one thing I never had a pedicure till I was in my 20s. And I always thought that's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. Is it really that great? And then I got my first pedicure and I was like, wow, this is amazing. No wonder people like this.
Yes.
And so I don't get pedicures routinely, but when I do, it's so scheduled and intentional and like, this is for me.
Yeah.
And I really, really love this. And so try new things. Even if you think, I would never do that, that's not like me, I don't understand why they spend money on that, maybe just try it once.
Yeah.
And I think you can experiment and figure out, oh, actually, I actually really love pedicures. That's actually really, really nice.
Yeah.
And then you will discover new avenues of other things you could try. And you'll also learn about yourself. No, I actually hate pedicures. Mm-hmm. So I'm never going to do that again. But I like foot rubs. Whatever it is, you're going to figure out the channel for the way you recharge.
Yeah, I love how you just described that so beautifully, because we all figure out, we're all so different. So we're all so different. And it can look so many different ways for us. And it doesn't have to be so rigorous. It doesn't have to be do it at this time and da 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 da. And you can change it up. Like, we got freedom, y'all. We got some free will. The Lord blessed us with that. We can choose and change it up. I know that I get very stagnant in my routines. And it becomes such a check off the list at some point instead of an actual intention of like, oh, it's on the calendar, so I have to do that. Or I've done this for 30 days, so I've got to continue to do it. But going back to what we were talking about before of centering ourselves to the Lord and allowing Him to guide us on, okay, God, how should I rest? Like, He's going to show you, He's going to make a way for you or lighten something up for you. I know in the mornings I have a different routine in having my coffee, working out, doing my devotion, worship, and I don't like to stay in the same spot. And I feel, I'm like, okay, Lord, where is the spot today? Where do you need me to go? And lately it's been worship walks in my community. And so I'll just turn my worship on and I'm just walking and I'll pray almost over every house or at least all the, and I'm standing out there like, these people probably think I'm crazy, but it's okay. And just praying over the houses, but that fills me up. It fills me up. Mm-hmm. And then I come home and I'm a better person because of it, but I let Him lead and I don't get stuck in that like structure of the day to day. Do you feel like a lot of women that you work with, because I feel like high achieving women, we get stuck in this routine.
Oh, yeah.
And so how do you like break them out of that? So like,
well, yeah, that's a great point. But something else that came to mind just barely is I want to talk about just or add in here the different types of rest that we're seeking.
Yeah.
Because I think breaking out of that routine, we have to be aware, because maybe we're getting 8-9 hours of sleep at night and we have the physical rest, but we still feel drained. Mm-hmm. And so recognizing what type of rest are you seeking, and that will actually help you to identify what you need as a whole. And it will help you to break some of those patterns. So if we're talking about physical rest, emotional rest, spiritual rest, you know, intellectual rest, what are you seeking? And that will vary on what you're going to do. And so that is one thing I like to identify with my clients is, what do you actually need? What type of rest do you need? And going back to God is going to guide you. So ask, what type of rest am I needing? Yes. You know, and that will help you a lot with being guided in where to go. And from there, I promise you're going to get some answers. You're going to get some ideas flowing. The more specific in your questions you get, the more specific God can get in his responses to you.
Oh, that's so good. Yes. I've seen that happen firsthand. That's so good. Yeah. Don't be afraid to ask all the questions. He, like, ask and you shall receive, right? Like, he is our dad. He wants to take care of us and provide for us. So that's so good. Okay. Something else that I want to talk about is this introvertedness and extrovertedness. And I know this is like a direct right turn pivot, but I don't hear of a lot of people talking about this. And I think it's so great to understand and see the dynamics between the two, how you can use them to your advantage. But also, as high achieving women, maybe if we are introverts, how do you suggest us? Because this all flows together. The Lord's doing big things. Because when we, you know, when you're high level achieving women, you got to get out there. It's required of us to be in rooms of people, but it can drain us. It can wipe us out. And so first, I would just love for you to describe, like, introvertedness and extrovertedness and maybe how they can work in and out of together, but protecting yourself and knowing yourself well in that area to take care of yourself.
Yes. Oh, definitely. And for anyone who does, just pretend you don't know anything about introversion and extroversion. And it is a battery. Imagine you have a battery. And in the morning, extroverts start with an empty battery. And with every social interaction that they have, their battery gets charged. And by the end of the day, they're feeling recharged, fueled, and ready to go. They feel excited. They're ready to go to a party and meet people. Introverts, on the other hand, start the day with a full battery. And with every interaction they have throughout the day, their battery slowly gets drained. And so by the end of the day, especially if you're an introvert and you are going out and talking to people, if you have a customer service job and you're having to talk all day, by the end of the day, you will feel drained, completely wiped out, and you'll want to sit on the couch, recharge, not talk, scroll on your phone, or maybe just go to sleep. I know a lot of the introverts in my life sleep significantly more than I do. And I honestly think they just need more of that alone recharging time. Sleep is a way to completely shut down. So that is one type of recharging. So if you think about it as a battery, hopefully that was a good illustration for anyone who doesn't understand this. Introverts, I'll just bust a couple myths here. Introverts aren't shy. Introverts aren't socially awkward. Introverts know how to talk to people. It's just where their social battery lies. And so if you catch an introvert at the end of the day after they've had a draining day, they can come off as rude, arrogant, shy, annoying, frustrated, quiet. But that doesn't mean that's who they are. But extroverts typically seem to be more prized in society. They're more friendly. They're more outgoing. They have great social skills, which is also false because I know lots of extroverts that have terrible social skills. And so just understanding that as a whole, that it's more of a social spectrum rather than a skill set, is really important.
That's so good. Thanks for describing that, because I've never heard it described like that before. And I'm like, ding, 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 definitely an introvert over here. And I love how you're like, they can be outgoing, because that's me. When I tell people I'm an introvert, I'm like, yes. And they're like, what? But you're outgoing. Like, that's why it drains me.
Yes. That's why I have to go home and not talk to anybody.
Yeah, in my blanket and having time. That's so good. That's so helpful. Okay, so let's talk about like this partnering or like this and how knowing this, right? Knowing introverts and extroverts, how we can work together in that. And kind of like how you and your husband are, how you guys communicate, how you use your knowledge of how you guys are and being an introvert and extrovert, how you utilize that in your marriage or in just working together.
Yeah, that's a great question and extremely relevant to what I do and why I do it. And the number one thing is I talk about it with my husband. It's not a secret to either of us, and we talk about it regularly. Just, I feel like my social cup is so drained because I am a business owner and I work from home, but I also am with my toddler all day. So my social cup does not come from my toddler, right? It does not get filled that way. So I have to really be conscious of how am I taking care of myself, back to being aware of your needs. Because God is going to guide you. And you just being able to also take care of yourself. I'm a big believer that God will provide, but also we've got to work for it too.
Amen.
And when you can recognize, I actually need a lot of social interactions outside of my family. And that was kind of a hard realization for me, realizing that my introverted husband actually wasn't filling my social cup either. And being able to have that conversation was difficult.
Yeah.
But when we could both realize that actually was one of the problems in our marriage was that I was expecting him to provide all my social, you know, filling up. And he could not do that. He just had no capacity to do that. It allowed me to have new avenues of I'm going to go to all of the ladies' activities at my church. I'm going to host parties with my friends. I'm going to go to lunch in the middle of the day with my mom friends and all of our kids. I'm going to take care of my needs because I have to take care of my needs. And also understand that me as an extrovert cannot help an introvert recharge. The way an extrovert helps an introvert recharge, you leave. That's what you do.
Yeah.
And that, again, is a paradigm shift because I was making it mean that I was a terrible wife, that he didn't want to be with me, that he didn't like me, that I was abandoning him, all the things. But when I could cross, when both of us, really, it's still a team effort, but when we can cross those bridges of understanding,
yeah,
and get to the point where, oh, you want me to leave. That's the only way you're going to recharge. You don't want to talk things out. If he's had a hard day, he does not want to talk it out.
Yeah.
He just wants to sit and to just take some deep breaths, watch a show, maybe go to bed early, do whatever he needs to do to recharge. And then we've also got to the point where we will ask for each other what we need, mm-hmm, because we've taken care of our emotional state and our social state, then we can come together and actually work together as a partnership,
yeah,
and provide the help that we are able to provide.
Yes, that is so helpful. And thank God for you guys for going through that. Man, I don't feel like no one tells you about these conversations to have, especially with your spouses. Right.
Yeah.
And then
there's
no school for this. Like, what the heck? Life skills. They don't teach you this in middle school. To ask your husband. But the our minds can take over and try and convince us and tell us that, oh, I'm not being a good wife, or I'm not sort out my husband or why do I want to leave? I shouldn't want to leave. Like, I should want to stay, or, you know, just things in our head. Honestly, I feel like the enemy coming in and trying to infiltrate too. But I love how you said we had to have the honest communication and the hard discussion to get to this point, because so many people avoid these hard conversations, especially with our spouses, let alone like maybe managers or people that you're working with, coworkers, friends. But that's by having these conversations, it's loving our partner, it's loving our marriage, it's strengthening the relationship. And so I just love how you prioritize, like, you got to have the tough conversation.
Yeah.
This is the truth and the realization. And then if we can operate like this, man, does it bring you guys stronger together in your marriage and for your family. So that's amazing. And I appreciate you telling us about that. So I will. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm a pretty open book when it comes to this, because I do think we are not unique in our challenges. Like me and my husband, I think so many people struggle with the same thing.
Yeah.
Because like you said, we're not taught this. No. And I also, if you feel like you are in this realm in any way, shape or form, I want to just offer that you can have an uncomfortable and difficult conversation and feel awkward and uncomfortable, and it could be hard, or you can avoid it and it can be awkward and uncomfortable and hard.
All the time.
All the time. And it never gets any better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I will say those first dozens of conversations that we had were awkward and hard and very, very difficult. Yeah. And now it's been years and we can talk about it in a very almost matter-of-fact way, and we've learned to not take it personally, because it's not personal to us. It's personal to ourselves. And when we've also learned how to speak with so much love to the other person of, I need some social interactions that is with other people, yeah, and it not come off as rude or offensive. But does get easier with time, but the longer you avoid it, the harder it's going to get.
Yeah, totally. Thank you for sharing that. I feel like it's needed. It needs to be more out there for people to know, like, you can have hard conversations with the person that you love the most.
Yep.
And it's okay.
And it's gonna be okay. Yeah. And it's going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just know that it's not anything. There's nothing wrong with you or them.
Right.
And when you can attack the problem together as a team, it will make it a lot easier.
Yes. Yeah, I've heard this changed my entire perspective when I have a hard conversation or know that there's going to be a hard conversation with a spouse or someone that's close to me, is we don't argue against flesh and blood. Mm-hmm. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against power and principalities.
Yeah.
And when we get back to that, it kind of dumbs down what we're actually going to speak to the person about. Be like,
oh, completely.
Really? Like, we're going to be upset about me going out with friends. Like, that's not, if that's going to fill my cup, right? You know, like, it's not that big of a deal, but our mind can take it and construe it and can change it. And if we remember, we don't fight against flesh and blood. Like, this is the person that God sent for you, and they are in his image. And so we can't insult them. We should do nothing but love them. So that like completely changed my perspective when going into tough conversations and things like that. But I would also love for you to share, and maybe you share these with your clients, about how do you fill your faith cup? How do you stay fueled by faith? How do you encourage your clients, maybe even your husband, to be fueled by faith so you can sustain what God has for you?
That's a really great question. And I do think I'm probably normal when I say I go through inconsistencies with my devotional and my prayer and study and everything. But I always I pray every day, even if it's just something small.
Yes.
If it's something simple. I also, well, here's a great analogy I heard last week, and I feel like I've already been living this, but then I heard it and I was like, wow, that's how I've been thinking about fueling my faith for the last few months. And the analogy was, just like reading spiritual content, if you compare it to food, food nourishes our body and the scriptures nourish our soul. And even though we're not going to remember all of the meals that we eat, we won't remember how they tasted or what was part of it. It's still taking care of our bodies to help us operate. But every now and then we'll have a really great meal that we'll remember for a long time.
Yeah.
And we'll reminisce back to it and say, oh, remember that cheesecake or remember that steak or remember that whatever it was. And the same is with our spiritual time with ourselves and with God. And when we can see it as daily nourishment to our soul, we're probably not going to feel the effects of it immediately. We're not going to feel the effects of it even in the long term. But if we can nourish our soul every single day, we might have those moments that we remember for a long time. We might remember, we might be able to look back and say, God really guided me here. And so I've been carrying this for the last few months, just in a, I'm just going to try and be consistent. And I do think my experience that I shared at the beginning with running into my friend last week, I think that was one of those moments that God had prepared me to be ready to slow down, because I had been doing my devotional every morning for the last few months. And so when I didn't have anything planned and I was doing devotional in the morning, I kept thinking, God's going to provide. He really is. He's going to provide. I don't know what I'm doing today, but God has a plan. And I don't know that I would have seen it the same even. And so I think as we rely more on God, we will truly believe that He's guiding our hand in all that we do. So that is something I'm just taking with me, is from now on, just like, I'm going to use my scriptures as daily nourishment.
Yeah.
And I probably won't remember most of it, but every now and then there's going to be a moment that I can say, God guided me.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm looking for.
Oh, so good. I love referring to it as nourishment. It feeds us, right? Mm-hmm. And whatever you're focusing on, you find whatever you're being fed more of is what's fueling you. And so really focusing on that and being fueled by Him and getting that nourishment from Him. And I love how you said it. Some of it you're going to remember and some of it you're not, because it's so true. I can't even tell you what my devotion was about yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, but there are some that are profound that just stick with you, and it's so good. And I appreciate you sharing that so much. So tell our listeners where they can find you, where they can find you on social media to get plugged into who you are, what you do more of.
Yeah. So you can find me on all social platforms at Erin Woodruff Coaching. And you can find me on my website, erinwoodruffcoaching.com. I also have a podcast called Time For You. And so I'm on all the podcast platforms. And then if you're okay with that, I would love to give your listeners a free gift.
Yeah.
We mentioned hard conversations a lot during this conversation. And I have a free hard conversations toolbox. And it guides you if you feel like, I don't know where to start, it's the perfect place. So you can go grab it at my website, erinwoodruffcoaching.com/toolbox. And it will guide you through all of the steps of how to prepare for a hard conversation, what to say, what to do, the things to do during a hard conversation, and then how do you move on once you're done with the hard conversation? What do you do afterwards? So it's a really great resource for you to have, especially when you want to navigate difficult conversations.
Amazing. Look at God just showing up right there. That's so cool. We'll drop that in the show notes so you guys have easy access to it as well. Go give Erin a follow. Let her know that you heard this episode and that you just want to love and support on her. And I'm just so thankful for you for being on.
Yeah, thank you so much, Emily, for having me. This was so much fun.
So good. Well, you guys have a great day, and we'll see you next week on the next show. Thank you so much for listening to the Fueled by Faith podcast. We would love it if you could go and leave us a 5-star review and how this podcast is impacting you.
This will help us move the needle forward to get this podcast out to more and more communities, more and more women that need to be fueled by faith.